puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Here we go. It's time now for Abandoned Manitoba, as it is every Sunday, where we are joined once again by, from the Manitoba Historical Society, Gordon Goldsborough. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Bruce.
So, what are we discussing this week?
Well, many fine artists have lived and worked in Manitoba through the years, and often they're remembered long after their deaths. But one artist, whose paintings can be found in quite prominent places around Manitoba, deserves more recognition than he gets. His name is Victor A. Long, and so I thought we'd discuss his impressive artistic legacy this morning, starting with a painting that first drew my attention to him.
Which one?
Well, as listeners may know, I retired as a professor at the University of Manitoba recently, but whenever I was on campus and I was visiting the university archives in the Elizabeth Dafoe Library, I would admire a full-size portrait of a man that hung in a stairwell of the library. That man's name was on a small plaque that was attached to the painting, so I knew that his name was Richard Waugh. And that didn't initially mean anything to me, but I did a little research, and I found that from the 1880s to his death in 1908, Waugh had been an agricultural journalist here in Manitoba. When he died, the editorial staff of his paper, the Norwest Farmer, organized a drive to raise funds to have Waugh's portrait painted. That painting was to be displayed at the Manitoba Agricultural College, which, of course, was a forerunner of today's U of M. So that's why Waugh's portrait is still displayed there. Although, you know, I have to say, I'm not convinced that a library stairwell is the best place for a portrait of a man who was long connected to Manitoba agriculture.
Makes sense, yeah. So, can we assume the painting of Richard Waugh was made by Victor Long?
Indeed, we can.
Okay.
It was painted in 1908, the year of Waugh's death, and we know these details because each of Long's paintings had a very prominent, clearly legible signature, V.A. Long, in the lower right corner, along with the year the painting was made. The conspicuousness and clarity of Long's signature is a characteristic feature of his work. I think he wanted everyone to know that he had painted a particular portrait in case that they were looking to have a portrait made for themselves. You know, each of his paintings was, in effect, an advertisement for his services.
So what do we know about Victor Long then?
Well, he was born in Ontario in 1866, but he traveled in Europe studying painting before he arrived in Winnipeg at the age of 21 in 1887, and where he established a studio on Main Street. He married at Brandon, and he had at least one child, maybe two, we're not entirely sure, before moving to Vancouver in 1910. But he returned to Manitoba every summer, collecting new commissions at stops along the way. He would complete the paintings at his Vancouver studio and then ship them back to the client. In later years, it appears that Long separated from his wife, and he died under somewhat mysterious circumstances. It might have involved a carbon monoxide poisoning. We're just not sure.
Huh.
But he died in 1938.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems that commissions for his work in Manitoba had ended around 1922 or 1923. So there are still mysteries to solve in his life story.
Sounds like it. So you said that his paintings are in prominent places. What kind of prominent places are we talking about?
Well, anyone who's attended a meeting of the Winnipeg City Council will recall that the walls surrounding the council chamber are covered in paintings of all the former mayors. The gallery starts near the public entrance with a painting of Winnipeg's first mayor from 1874, the scoundrel Francis Evans Cornishon. We'll talk about him at some future date.
Yeah.
And it continues in chronological order around the perimeter of the room to the most recent former mayor, Brian Bowman. Every one of the earliest portraits from 1874 to 1923, with the exception of one, was painted by Victor Long, starting in 1901. Now, 1901, keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. I mean, the earliest mayor was 1874. And so this means that Long was painting some of those early mayors from Well, I suspect must have been from photos because, well, so many years had elapsed. And in fact, some of the mayors had already passed away. So they couldn't sit to have their portrait taken. Yet we know one thing about Long's portraits is that, it, you know, at least for subjects where there were enough photos taken that we know what they looked like pretty well. Mm-hmm. His paintings are remarkably lifelike. Some paintings you see of people, you know, they think, well, you guess it's sort of a person. You know, they're maybe a little stylized. Yeah. Yeah. His, oh, they're remarkably lifelike, and I really do admire this quality of his portraits.
I'm going to have to look some of these up for sure then. But, of course, you said one he painted all but one mayor. Which one?
Well, for reasons that I just don't understand, Long was not commissioned to paint Thomas Deacon, who was Winnipeg's mayor from 1912 to 1914. And, well, in fact, he's commemorated in the Deacon Reservoir that supplies Winnipeg with its water supply.
Right.
But, nope, not painted by Long. It was painted by a fellow named Chaloner.
Might have been on vacation. That time. So you said that they're commissioned. That means that they were, you know, ordered by someone. So who would that have been?
Well, it appears that it was the municipal council that ordered the paintings. Mm-hmm. And they appear to have started in 1901 and 1902 because the vast majority of Long's portraits were painted in one of those 2 years. In other words, they said, okay, paint the first, you know, 15 mayors and here's the list and go at it.
Right.
What I find interesting is that the last mayor that was painted by Long was Frank Fowler. And he left office in 1922. Long painted his portrait in 1923, and that's it. That's where all of the Long paintings end. There is none more recent than 1923. Now, I should also point out that his portraits also hang in the Manitoba legislature. There are galleries in the hallways of the building for the premiers and the speakers of the Legislative Assembly. And in both of those cases, the last paintings by Victor Long were also made in 1922. So it seems that something significant happened that year, and he lost all his commissions for some reason.
Hung up his brushes.
Well, it appears so.
Ran out of turpentine. So you said he painted mayors and speakers and premiers. Anyone else?
Well, supposedly he also painted the early lieutenant governors of Manitoba. But I couldn't get this confirmed. I checked with the staff of the current lieutenant governor. There is a gallery of former lieutenant governors in Government House, but they are all photographs, not paintings. So, no, it appears that either that was a rumor that turned out not to be true, or maybe there's paintings out there. We just don't know where they are. But in the Law Courts building here in Winnipeg, there are also Long paintings of the early Chief Justices of Manitoba. Over in the Millennium Library, there's a Long portrait of philanthropist Andrew Carnegie. He gifted the city of Winnipeg the funds to construct our first public library,
right. The
one over on William Avenue. And a few weeks ago, I had an opportunity to view two mammoth Long paintings that were commissioned in the early 20th century by Premier Thomas Greenway. They show Queen Victoria and her husband, Prince Albert, standing in what looked like, to me, really quite regal poses.
Where are they?
Well, I'm told the paintings belong to the provincial government, but with permission from the provincial archives, they are on semi-permanent loan to the town of Crystal City in southwestern Manitoba, and they're displayed in the Parkland Theatre building there. I think it's an appropriate place, given that Thomas Greenway, who commissioned the portraits, was in fact the founder of Crystal City.
Oh, makes sense then, yeah.
Yeah.
So how many paintings by Long are known to exist then?
Well, as I learn about Long paintings in various places, I add them to a list that's on the Manitoba Historical Society website. And my list presently has 69 paintings on it, along with where they're located today. But it is definitely not a complete list, not at all. I am including only his work in Manitoba, but he also did paint noteworthy people in Saskatchewan and Alberta too. And there's likely lots of undiscovered Long portraits of, well, less prominent people, because essentially he would paint anyone who had paid him. So, you know, if you just wanted a portrait of some relative that was maybe deceased and you just wanted to have a really good likeness of them, you would commission him. Mm-hmm. So the key, I think, to find Long portraits is to look for that conspicuous signature, V.A. Long, on the painting. You know, and if anybody happens to find a Long painting, you know, maybe it's in a prominent place or who knows, maybe at a garage sale even, I'd love to hear about it. You know, he was an excellent portrait painter. I think he really deserves to be better known.
Well, and maybe we'll solve the mystery of what happened the last 15 years of his life when he didn't paint anymore.
Yeah. Well, and there are sort of, you know, if you read the newspaper accounts when he died, there's some sort of veiled references to his life. And he apparently lived under rather reduced circumstances, living in a tenement, and he had apparently fallen and hurt his head. And then he was making himself a cup of tea, and maybe the pilot light went out, and that's where the gas came from.
Wow. So you did have a little bit of research going on here.
Well, you know, and you know, maybe there's a murder mystery. Maybe Murdoch Mysteries wants to cover this one as a, you know, a portrait painter who, you know, mysteriously dies.
And, I wonder if anybody knows more.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for that. That's quite interesting. What's up for next week?
Well, the Manitoba Historical Society maintains an inventory of historic buildings around the province. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, of course, every year, some of those buildings are lost through things like demolition and host of other disasters. Well, next week, for our final episode of Abandoned Manitoba for the year, I will review the historic buildings around Manitoba that we lost in 2024.
The dreaded lost buildings list. I'll be looking forward to that. Thank you very much for coming in today, Gordon, and merry holidays to you.
And to you, too. And we'll talk to you next week.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.